More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, exasperation detonation. Is someone or something making you ready to explode? Let us help diffuse the situation, reclaim your calm, and find grace-filled solutions.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical. Theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, exasperation detonation. That's a lot to say in the morning, honestly. Well, we're talking about those times when someone or something makes you ready to explode. We want to help you diffuse the situation, reclaim your calm, and find grace-filled solutions. The number to join the conversation and ask your questions, 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Before we get too far into the show, I just wanted to share that we attended a lovely meeting of a local Catholic organization last night, and I wanted to give a shout-out to a couple of folks who attended the meeting that were regular listeners of More to Life. Big hi to Peggy and Roberta and Dave. Thanks, guys, for tuning in.
I love that. It was like, that's who you are? You're on that show? I listen to that show all the time. I didn't know that. It was very cute. It was a lovely evening. And great to be with those folks. And all of you who are listening to More to Life, we appreciate you here so much, and we can't wait to help you with anything that you're dealing with today that might be making you particularly angry or just constantly frustrated by the situation. If that sounds like something you need to talk about so you can clear the decks and have a better weekend, let us help you out today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Of course, if you're listening later on to the More to Life podcast, and I hope that you do tune in to the More to Life podcast, you can send us your questions still via email. That address is questions@moretoliferadio.com, with the number two, questions@moretoliferadio.com. But if you're listening live, we love hearing your voice. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
So let's talk about it. Has someone made you angry with the things they've done or said to frustrate you in some way, and you're not sure how to handle it? Are you angry about a situation that you have to deal with? Or are you frustrated with the way you handle anger, either because it causes you to lash out or maybe even to just shut down? Perhaps you're struggling to deal with someone who's taking their anger out on you. Let us help you find ways to stop seeing red and start finding grace-filled, real answers instead of just dealing with all of those emotions.
The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. What's that, you say? Well, thanks for asking. St. John Paul, when he was the Pope, gave a series of reflections on how we can discover God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships, particularly by prayerfully reflecting on God's design and creation, and especially of our bodies.
You know, we all tend to have a pretty complicated relationship with our anger. The theology of the body reminds us that all the parts of our body, including the parts that create our emotions, were designed by God to work for our good and the good of others. Christians often think that being angry is sinful. But that isn't true. Whether our anger is sinful or not has more to do with how we express it than the fact that we feel it. In fact, St. John Chrysostom once said, "He who is not angry when he has good reason to be, sins, for such an attitude fosters negligence."
So anger, whether it's a response to a person or a situation, is meant to be a gift that calls our attention to an injustice and motivates us to act in a proportionate, appropriate, and productive way. I'm going to hit those three words again. Proportionate, appropriate, and productive. That is righteous anger. And because when we act in that proportionate, appropriate, and productive way, we can heal whatever injustice was committed against us or whatever injustice we're witnessing. If we can do that, the anger that we feel is actually righteous and guided by the Holy Spirit. Now, by contrast, the sin of wrath is anger that leads to an, wait for it, inappropriate, disproportionate, and unproductive response. So being angry, especially about a wrong that's been committed or a situation that's unjust, is not a sin. Letting our anger cause us to pour gas on the fire with that disproportionate, inappropriate, and unproductive response is sinful. Now, of course, it's difficult to respond to a perceived injustice in an appropriate, proportionate, and productive way all on our own power. So in order for anger to fulfill its godly purpose, we have to stop treating it as a call to arms. You know, anger, our anger is not a club that we use to beat other people into submission so they do what we want them to do. Instead, anger is a call to prayer and discernment that allows us to determine the nature of the injustice that God's calling our attention to, and helps us identify the graceful response that God wants us to make to it. And only then, when we've taken that time to bring our anger to God first and ask Him to teach us what to do with it, are we ready to go to the other person with a plan. Now, that's a very different approach to anger and frustration than we normally have, and so let's talk about how to apply that in the situations you find yourself in. Has someone made you angry with the things they've done or said to you? You know, are you angry about a situation that you have to deal with? Maybe you're frustrated about the way you handle anger, either because it causes you to lash out or shut down. Or for that matter, are you struggling to deal with someone who is taking their anger out on you? We want to help you find ways to stop seeing red and start finding grace-filled solutions. The number again, 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. We'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we bring to you all those people and situations that provoke us to anger, and in response to that anger cause us to lash out or shut down. Help us to not be afraid of our anger, but instead remember to bring our anger to you so that you can teach us how to respond to those people and situations in ways that are appropriate, proportionate, and productive. Help us to respond to those injustices in grace-filled ways that enable us to work for the good of everyone involved, to make a positive difference in that situation, and use our gifts and talents in the ways that you have created them to be used, in ways that allow us to build your kingdom, even in the face of those many frustrations and situations that cause us to be angry. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the title of the show, Exasperation Detonation. We're talking about those times when someone or something makes us angry or ready to explode, including those times when other people take their anger out on us. So if you're struggling with your own angry reactions to the people or situations in your life, or your struggle to deal with the angry people being angry at you, 877-573-7825.
Or maybe you or someone in your life is just running anger, like it's just behind everything, like something that's running behind what you're looking at your computer, and everything is just driving you crazy, and you're always at that elevated emotional level that makes you angry at everything and everybody all the time, and you don't mean to be, but you're snapping at people, and you're not happy in your life, and you're just running it. Let's talk about the seeds of that and how to get through it so that you can find peace in yourself and with those other people. Give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Well, let's go to our first caller of the day. We're talking with Myrna, listening in to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio. Hey, Myrna. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out today?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thank you.
What's your question for us?
I am hitting a new stage with my teenage daughter, and it's every time I ask her to do something, I've used the please, I've used please do this, to the point that I get to just do it already, and she keeps pushing back. I know it's a new season because I see it coming, but at the end
you
of the day,
she said she's 13. So when you say it's a new season, are you putting this mostly on all teenage girls become horrible, or are you saying she's really going through hormonal stuff and that's causing her to be, you know, obnoxious?
I believe
where do
that's
you
what's
place
happening.
It? Okay.
I believe it's hormonal.
Could you walk us through?
She's always been a sweet girl.
Sure.
Okay.
So could you walk us through an example of a recent situation where you tried to ask her to do something and how she responded? Just kind of take us through the event.
Mondays is usually my cleaning day, so I ask, please pick up before you guys go to school so I can vacuum. She ended up not doing it, and then before she left, I said, did you end up doing it? And she said, oh, yes, I did, Mom. And we went off to drop her off for school. I came home, and her room was a disaster. So she's lying, telling me she's doing something, and I should follow through. When I ask her to do something, I should give her time to go in and double-check if she did it. Not wait until the last minute when I want things done and they're not.
No, there you go. That's a really good insight.
You've
okay.
got good instincts.
Yeah,
there.
You do have really good instincts there. So here's what I want you. So we're just going to use this example, but I'd like you to kind of use that as a springboard to help generalize, you know, this answer to other things. So if your cleaning day is Monday and you need things to be in order before the kids go to school, you might say on Sunday night, you know, or Sunday evening, I need you, daughter, to get your room in order and do these things, right? Which gives you then an opportunity to check on them before she goes to bed.
And I would really, you know, as Greg's saying, have that as a plan. If you clean your house on Mondays, the whole family should know by the end of Sunday, as the, you know, Sabbath is ending, the sun is going down, the whole family goes and straightens up the house. They just do a pick up and put away of the house. You all reset.
Like a 15-minute tidy.
Yeah, it's a 15-minute tidy, or, you know, no longer than a half an hour, but everybody sets it to right so Mom can bless everybody else with the work you're doing on a Monday. But it should be working that everybody knows the schedule, because when we tell somebody, especially a poor teenage girl who has 80 million things going through her head about how hard her day is going to be, you know, right before she goes to school, hey, clean that up. She might even not realize she didn't do it. She may have, like, put two things away and not seen it. If you do this with a rhythm on the Sunday night, as Greg's suggesting, then at the end of that half hour, you check. And if there's anything anybody missed, including yourself, you go, okay, I missed that. You can even, it's a great skill to just say, okay, before you even come down and tell me it's done so I can check it, take a picture of your room from the doorway and see if there's anything that's out of place, because sometimes we don't see it with our own eyes. It's a good skill for that kind of thing. But what you're doing is you're building a team and a schedule so that nothing is, no emotions on her part are getting in the way.
So, your point, Myrna, about needing to follow up, you know, that's a really important thing for parents to always remember to do. You know, if we don't communicate to our kids that the thing we've asked them to do is important enough for us to come and check up on it afterward, then we undermine the importance of what we've asked them to do. In general, just kind of building on what we've shared so far, it's a good idea to build in a natural break where you can follow up on the thing. Let me give you an example. So you might say, thus and such has to be done before I take you to practice. Okay? And then they're standing at the door saying, come on, Mom, we got to go to practice. I mean, you know, we're going to be late. And you're like, well, did you do the thing? I said, well, yeah, I did the thing. Well, you didn't come and tell me to check it. So part of the job should be the kid coming to you and saying, Mom, it's done. Would you mind coming and looking at it? Right? So we need to train our kids to remember that, that at the end of the job, they need to come to us and say, hey, I did thus and such. Can you come and look? If they don't do that, then we have that natural break where, it had to be done by practice. They haven't come to us, so we say, did you get the thing done? And they say, I need to go and look at it. So you go look at it. If it's not done, they don't get to go to practice yet. Like, you know, they get to go when it's done, but they might be late, or they might miss it altogether. And it's because you're holding up that thing that's important to them that communicates the fact that this is an important thing to do before they can go on with their life. Like, you know, this thing has to be done before you sit down for dinner. They sit down for dinner, but they haven't told you to come check the thing. Did you do the thing? I didn't see it, so I have to go check it before you come and sit down. Oh, and then, you know, if they have to do it better, then they have to do it again, and they're late for dinner. The point is, you're building in these natural breaks where either you've taught them to come and get you to check up on it, or you can remind yourself to come check on it first. The last thing I'll leave you with here, general tip for you and all the other listeners out there, don't ask your kid to do something unless you've done it with them first to show them the standard you want it to be.
Perhaps several times till they've really gotten the skill. We think, especially with things like cleaning, that because they've watched us do it around the house, like from a distance, that they automatically know how to do it. Half of YouTube would be gone if that was true. There are many, many grown women having to look up videos to figure out how to get skills just, you know, to clean our houses and things. So teacher first. Go through it for a few weeks together. Make it pleasant.
So in that Sunday night tidy, for example, you know, the two of you clean the room together so that she knows what standard you're looking for, and it's been communicated not just in words, but in your actions as well. Once that's been established, then you can use all the other stuff we've talked about to follow up on it and make sure that she follows through. Myrna, if you're interested, we'd love for you to become part of the Catholic Home community. That's Catholic H-O-M. It's an app that you can download, and we're on it every day along with our whole team of pastoral counselors and family life coaches to answer questions like this. Plus, there are tons of creative resources to help you build a more loving, caring, connected, faithful Catholic home. I think you're going to love it. First month is free. Check it out. Download the Catholic HOM app. It stands for Households on Mission. It's available on iOS or Android, and we'd love to have you be part of that Catholic Home community. It's just hundreds and hundreds of families just like you working to build a really solid, faithful Catholic home, dealing with those parenting questions and all kinds of other issues related to living our faith at home and building a strong Catholic household. That's Catholic HOM. Download the app today. Hope to see you there, Myrna. Thanks for the call. 877-573-7825. We've got to take a break right now. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Rachel Watkins. She is the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11. She's going to be sharing some insights about what to do when you're getting angry with your family. Stick around for that and a whole lot more. When More to Life continues after the break.
Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Are you longing to hear God's voice? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series, will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking, and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Hi, this is Peter Herbeck, Executive Vice President of Renewal Ministries and host of Fire on the Earth. I'm inviting you to join me for a special presentation at Christ the King Church in Ann Arbor. Andy Comiskey, Founding Director of Desert Stream, will speak on sexual integrity and gender identity and how we can develop clarity and compassion for our spiritual gift. The talk begins Tuesday, April 23rd at 7 p.m. and will include Q&A sessions. It's free and there's no registration necessary. Learn more in the slider at AveMariaRadio.net.
Ann Arbor Smiles is a state-of-the-art dental practice led by the talents of doctors Dan Kennedy, Chris Marzoni, and Stephen Gray. One of their many satisfied patients is Father Deacon Lawrence Hendricks.
I was one of the first patients to receive a Sarah crown from Dr. Kennedy. The Sarah technology allows for restorations to be done in one visit. They always use the most advanced techniques in dentistry. I've always enjoyed the friendly staff and the personal relationships that I have at Ann Arbor Smiles.
Go to AnnArborSmiles.com today.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Exasperation Detonation, as we talk about the people and things that drive us to anger. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Let us help you diffuse the situation, reclaim your calm, and help you find those grace-filled solutions. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Watkins. She is the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11. Hey, Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks, Lisa.
Well, it's great to have you with us. You know, of course, as a mom of 11, there are probably lots of times where your kids drive you crazy and just stuff drives you crazy. How do you deal with those times when your own family is provoking you to anger?
Well, it's interesting, Greg, because if you had asked me, do you have a temper, Rachel? I would have said, no, I'm a really calm, kind of mellow person, until I got married and until children arrived. And then all of a sudden it seems that anger comes with both of those situations. And that's where I needed to, as my kids like to say, put on my big girl pants and realize that my temper issues were mine and they needed to come under God's headship and God's control. So when you get angry, admit that you do. That was hard for me to admit. I can be an angry person. This situation made me angry. And then I had to learn that I was in charge of myself. I wasn't in charge of my kids. I can't be in charge of Matthew or situations, but I can control myself. So take a deep breath and walk away. Telling the person you're upset with, I need to talk about this with you, but I can't do it now because it's not going to go well. And I'm going to embarrass myself and then be more angry at how badly I handled it. So we're going to talk about this tomorrow, tonight. Make a date and walk away and then go talk to God about how angry you are and what's going on.
And that really ties in with what we were saying before. Sorry, just before you move on, I just want to highlight this. You know, that anger, we tend to treat anger as a club that we use to beat other people into submission to make them do what we want them to do. And anger is not a club, it's a call to prayer, where we can go and ask God to help us clarify what the problem is and how he wants us to respond to it. So really important insight. Thanks for sharing that. And there was something else you wanted to share as well.
Well, exactly. And you mentioned it, Greg. Then you come back to that person, the situation, you say, all right, this happened. I don't want it to happen again. What is our plan? What went wrong, and how are we going to take care of it the next time? Making a plan for your peace of mind and for the other person's peace of mind. You know, like in calls that you just had, what are you going to do with your child so that the situation is resolved? And working together, you fall back in love with each other. You realize that this person that you were just so angry with actually makes you laugh, actually brings such joy to your life, then helps you resolve the issue. Hopefully it won't happen again, or at least not to the same extreme. And then you can go on building the loving family you want.
And if it does happen again, like you said, you have a plan. And I want to emphasize something, because you're putting out a lot of stuff here, and it's really great stuff. But what you said was working together, because I think, you know, you're particularly talking about dealing with your kids, perhaps your spouse, but really your kids. If most parents think they've come up with a plan when they've told their child what to do differently, you don't know what emotions they're dealing with, what pressures they're dealing with, what their time schedule really is, because everything's crazy nowadays. But if you work together for something that will work for both of you, then it will actually work and be effective and give you that peace, give you that plan that will actually work. So emphasizing, Rachel Watkins, what you just said, work together to come up with that plan. Don't just dictate something, right?
Exactly. And that's it. The control that you lost when you got so angry is regained when you work together and, like you said, make the plan. And then the last thing I want to say is don't forget to say you're sorry. As parents, we can think that saying sorry to our children somehow loses our power or we're out, you know, that we've somehow lost something. My kids, adults and youngers, have always said how much it meant to them when I said, I'm sorry, I really lost my temper with you. That wasn't a good reflection of how much I love you. And then let your child then give the apology they need to do. Saying I'm sorry lets the forgiveness come in and let the healing begin.
Amen. Rachel, thank you so much for sharing these insights with us. Really, you know, really hard-won insights from family life, and I really appreciate you sharing those ideas with us about dealing with anger in family life. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work, I really encourage them to go to beholdpublications.com, where you can learn more about the Little Flowers Girls Club, and you can use those resources even if there isn't a club in your area. You can use it with your own family. Check it out, beholdpublications.com. That's the Little Flowers Girls Club. Rachel, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks, guys. God bless.
God bless you. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. We've thrown a lot of good ideas out there about how to deal with anger, bringing it to God, really reflecting on what is the problem exactly? How can I respond to that problem in a way that works for everybody's good? How can I deal with it in an appropriate, proportionate, and productive way? That's all great in theory. But then that person comes along and presses your buttons.
You know, that kid
drives you crazy. That neighbor, that friend, that family member. Or that situation that just drives you nuts. How do you handle that in an appropriate, proportionate, productive way? And stop letting the anger dictate your response? Well, let's talk about it in your situation. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We'll be back with your questions in just a minute. Stick around.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you have an insurance plan that pays for everything, even things you don't believe in? There are options. You can join Solidarity HealthShare, a faith-based health-sharing community. Plus, Solidarity HealthShare can save you money with prices starting as low as $384 a month for families.
Call to see how much you can save. 844-398-9399. That's 844-398-9399.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Garendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling. 40 years of experience, 17,000 current students, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plan, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right, pretty much everything. My wife and I use Seton. Some of our children. Tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. Over 30% higher on English and reading on the ACT. It's a rigorous program. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. That is SetonHome.org.
Another Way Pregnancy Center in Farmington Hills offers free pregnancy tests, ultrasounds, counseling, and material goods to those in need of love and support. But to create a culture of life, they need your help. Join them for their annual Laugh for Hope event, a family-friendly comedy night to save lives. It begins Friday night, April 19th at Ward Church in Northville, featuring headliner Dennis Gaxiola and opener Jason Douglas. Tickets are $15 at the door or can be purchased at awpcfriends.org/events.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Why are some married couples happy while others struggle? You might think that happy couples argue less and resolve issues more efficiently than unhappy couples. But in fact, research suggests that both happy and unhappy couples argue about as much and struggle similarly with problem solving. The real difference is that happy couples consciously work toward maintaining their relationship and emotional health. For example, they create rituals for working, playing, talking, and praying together on a daily and weekly basis. Happy couples also look for ways to help each other out from day to day, little things that might make the other person's day easier or more pleasant. And then, when conflict breaks out, as it inevitably does in any human relationship, they realize that the most important thing isn't solving the conflict, but how they come to that resolution. Happy couples take care of each other while they go through that conflict so they can work to find solutions together. Marriage isn't easy, but the good news is that with a little work, any couple can find real happiness together. Get more tips for building a strong marriage in my book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. And if you'd like faithful help for your relationship, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today our show is titled Exasperation Detonation, where we talk about those times where someone or something just makes you ready to explode. We want to help you get control of that anger and focus it in a healthy way.
Or perhaps you're dealing with somebody's anger and you're on the receiving end of it and you don't know what to do with all of that and to make it stop. We're here for you today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
And with that, we're taking our next call from Chantel, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Hey, Chantel, welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Hi, good morning. I was just calling to seek some advice regarding my sister. It's been about a month since she hasn't spoken to me, and it's just in regards to my grandmother's estate, and I pretty much told her I didn't want any part of it. I think it was my mother, you know, it was her matter with her siblings. You know, we're the grandkids, let them deal with it. And she, you know, got very angry, and she's like, you know, pretty much said, no, you know, we're the oldest grandchildren, and it is our responsibility. And I said I wanted no part of it. And since then, she's completely cut me off, my entire family as well.
Chantel, what does she mean by it's your responsibility? You know, when you're talking about inheriting, you know, something from grandparents, it's usually you just receive it. What is she saying you're responsible for here?
Into coercing my mother to sign papers over to my aunt. She's saying because it's our mom that we're the only ones left who could convince her to sign those papers.
Convince her to do what exactly?
To sign over the estate to my aunt. Or the houses.
I mean, I guess I don't need to know necessarily why, but I guess I'm just trying to understand this is your sister, right? So this is not your cousin, right? So it's not your aunt's daughter, this is your sister. So why does your sister want everything to go to the aunt?
Yeah. You would think that she'd want it to pass down eventually.
She's just saying,
Chantel,
not my mother.
Just girl to girl here, we can talk about all the psychological, spiritual ramifications. Stay out of this. Just one girl to another.
Yeah.
Stay away.
Yeah.
This is a hornet's nest that you cannot win. And honest to goodness, not your business and not your sister's business, but you don't have to convince your sister of that. Stay out of this.
Yeah, no, you've done the right thing, and I'm sorry that your sister is responding the way she is. I think for the long term good of the relationship, I would just focus on, you know, sending the occasional chatty text. I wouldn't necessarily expect a response from her, but just reach out occasionally, say, hey, I was thinking about you, thus and such happened, hope you're doing okay. You know, I mean, in some ways, you know, I know I sound like I'm coming across like pretend it didn't happen. The reason I'm saying that, though, is because this is not worth following up on, right? You've set your limit, and you're letting your limit do the talking for you.
And anything
and now
else
you can
is
move
gonna
on.
Make it a bigger mess.
And if she wants to, you know, she wants to hold that against you and pout about it, like, but she's not talking to you because she's trying to exert pressure on you. You know, it's not that she's withdrawing from you. She's actually still engaged in the fight. Right, so she's initiated a cold war on you. So it's like, I'm not going to talk to her. I'm going to show her how angry I am in this way, and that's going to make her feel guilty and back down. If you just move on because you set the limit, and then you send the occasional chatty text, and, oh, I'm thinking about you, hope everything's going well, I'd love to get together whenever you have some time, you're letting her know that you've moved on. And this is not an issue for you.
And if she brings it back up, just say it again. I told you how I felt about this, but I'd love to see you sometime about something else.
Right, so it's not your job to convince her that you're right or convince her to agree with you. If she doesn't want to have a relationship with you now, that's sad, but it's fine. That's her choice. You've set your limit. You've decided how you're going to respond to it, and now you're moving on, and you're being pleasant. And at some point, she'll either come around or she won't, but you will have done the right thing. So, Chantel, I'm sorry that that's happened, but you really are on the side of right here, and the side of reason. And you don't have to convince her of anything. Just you've done your bit. Now, just leave the door open for a possible relationship in the future if she'd like to take advantage of that when she cools down.
And, there's healthy guilt and there's unhealthy guilt. And healthy guilt moves you to move to something that is holier and better and in more right order. This is unhealthy guilt. She's trying to make you feel guilty for alienating her. I'm putting that in big air quotes because you really didn't. That was her choice. And she's trying to guilt you into being less of a good person, less of a godly person than you're trying to be in this moment. That's unhealthy guilt. That's from the enemy. We don't want to go there. So stay the course. You've got good reason here. You're making the right choice. And anything else you will do, I'm going to reiterate this again, will blow up the family even more. So don't fall for it.
Just stick with the limit and be pleasant moving forward. Let your sister figure it out in her own time. Thanks for the call. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Today's show, Exasperation Detonation, as we talk about those times when someone or something pushes our buttons and causes us to either feel like exploding or actually outright explode.
Let's talk now with Matthew, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Oklahoma, listening on Sirius XM 130.
Hi, Matthew. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on, man?
Hi, guys. I'm a first-time caller. Thank you for taking my call.
Welcome.
Absolutely. Well,
I'm a former firefighter. I developed PTSD through a traumatic adolescent call. I was able to deal with it until I had my own kids, who are 3 and 2 now. A lot of my anger stems from that, and it's a very internal. And unfortunately, that anger gets directed towards God. I have to isolate myself, and I'm not sure how to deal with this anger because it takes over my body and my mind. I want to be a good dad for my children, and I want to be there for them, but, I can't be there for them when I'm not in the right space.
And can you tell us, what have you done to try to deal with this? Have you gotten any help so far?
Yes. I feel like I'm kind of regressing. I have gone to the IAFF Center of Excellence in Maryland. It's an excellent organization for firefighters only that are dealing with these kinds of things. I went there for 35 days. Got help. They're excellent. Just recently, I feel like I've been falling off the wagon. I just find new triggers that my son introduces to me sometimes, each week. Or I find it very hard. I've been praying a lot. I returned to church. But my anger excellent. Towards God, I know it's not healthy.
Oh, well not necessarily.
Matthew, not necessarily. But when you get angry at God, are you, and you don't have to tell us what you say to him, because that's a very personal thing, but are you able to be honest with him and say, Lord, I'm really angry because of X, Y, and Z. Help me with it. Are you able to call out to him and ask him and invite him into your anger and frustration and pain?
No, I kind of just blame him, and I kind of just let it all out on him, and then I just kind of shut off.
Okay, but but even that's okay, right? Because God is big enough to handle our anger. And if the most important thing is that you're bringing it to him, even in that way, right? Because you want to beat on his chest. You want to just exhaust yourself and just pour that all out there. When you do calm down, go back to it, though, and say, Lord, I know you don't want me to feel this way. I don't want to feel like this. Show me what to do about it. Teach me how to respond to all this anger and all this pain and all this hurt that I have. Show me what to do.
And bring me your grace. Bring me your healing. I need you in this situation. I may be angry with you, but that could be distorted. I need you. Because when we invite God into that pain, that's pushing Satan and all his lies out of the way. And that's what you're getting a lot of. Oh, you know, God, the enemy just doesn't want you to trust God anymore. It's a great way to put a big, big chasm between you and God and you and your kids. But if you can bring yourself in a state of anger and say, I'm humble enough, Lord, to know that I might be seeing this wrong, that you're there anyway, and I need you to show up and I need you to walk with me through this, that's going to begin to change things. You need to invite him into it.
A couple of things to build on that. You know, first of all, in continuing this reflection on God, you know, we often feel guilty when we let loose our anger on God or those ugly feelings on God. You know, Jesus said, no longer slaves, I call you friends, right? And if you're angry with a friend, you need to go talk to your friend, right? And sometimes in our anger, we don't express it the best way. But God's big enough that he can take it. And so, by all means, don't ever feel guilty being honest with God about how you're feeling. Even if it comes out as rough and raw and ugly, that's okay. That's the divine physician who's lancing the wound, right? Who's letting all the pus out. That's not a pretty metaphor, but it's accurate for what's happening there. And once that infection gets cleared, then God's grace can come in and start to bring healing. Now, a couple of things that you said. Now, you said you did a kind of a, it sounds like it was either an extensive inpatient or a day program for 35 days that helped you kind of develop some basic skills. That's great, and it sounds like it was really helping you out. But you need follow-up. Right, so if they have someone that they can refer you to for follow up, then I'd encourage you to work with them for that aftercare bit, because you definitely need that ongoing support to, as you put it, remain on the wagon, doing the exercises and the practices that have helped you maintain the anger up until recently. So, you know, either ask them for a referral, or if you're looking for grace-filled ways to respond to this, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. But one way or the other, you need somebody in your life, a professional who's going to help you kind of pull this together and keep going down the road that you started on by going to the treatment program. One other thing I will two other things I'll say. The anger that you're feeling, especially related to PTSD, you know, people feel like it just comes out of nowhere and it takes them over, and that's how it feels. But what's really happening is that the person is, say, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being perfectly calm and 10 being, you know, outraged. You're probably operating at a 7 or an 8 all the time, and you've been there long enough that it feels like a 3 or a 4 to you. Right, so your 3 or 4 or 5 is everybody else's 7, 8, 9, and when something else happens, like your kid does something that surprises you in an unpleasant way, you're already at an 8, and then you pop up to that 9 or 10 right away. So the reason I'm saying that is because you're going to need to focus on building in times in your day where you read your emotional temperature. And you start taking it down no matter what you think it is. So, for example, you wake up in the morning and you say, where do I think I'm at? What's one small thing I could do to bring it down one level? You know, on a scale of 1 to 10, where do I think I'm at? And if I think I'm at a 5, how could I bring it down to a 4? And, you know, if I'm at a 3, how could I bring it down to a 2? If I'm at an 8, how could I bring it down to a 7? Just one small thing where, you know, in the morning, mid-morning, lunchtime, mid-afternoon, dinner time, evening, and bedtime, you're taking your temperature, you know, the 5 or 6 times the day, and you're asking, where am I? And what could I do to bring down that temperature just a little bit? Although this book's on anxiety, not anger, my book Unworried walks you through that exercise, and it could be a good resource for you, because a lot of the things that apply to anxiety also apply to anger. The other thing, when you in the evening, identify certain things that were triggers for you, things that your kids did, things that set you off, and ask yourself, if I had it to do over again, how would I handle it differently? If I could stay in that calmer self, what would I do differently? Bring it to God. You know, pray about it. Lord, teach me how to respond to this trigger situation so that the next time it happens, I can respond in a way that glorifies you and helps me be my best self and helps me bring out the best in my kids. Right? And so you write it down and you start thinking through it. You might not have the perfect answer to it, but it's going to be a better response than what you did the last time. And resist the temptation to just say, well, I just need to not get angry. Assume that you're going to get angry. But assume that you can handle that anger differently. If you could handle that anger in a different way, if you could direct it in a more proportionate, appropriate, and productive response, what would that look like? write it out, script it out, and look at it every day. So when you take your temperature first thing in the morning, you also look at that journal where you wrote down all the things you'd like to handle differently and what you'd like to do, and you mentally rehearse it. Because if you wait until the moment when your anger flashes, you're not going to be able to control it at all. It's all about preparation when you're dealing with this kind of upset, okay? So, Matthew, if there's more that we can do to support you, like I said, I want you to go talk to the folks that you did your original treatment with and see if you can get a referral there. But if you'd like to explore this in faith-filled ways, then don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We can walk you through these steps again. I do think that the suggestions we've made on the call here will be very helpful, but you really need somebody walking with you to be able to follow this up. And again, I mentioned unworried, a life without anxiety. A lot of the things that work for anxiety also apply to anger, because a lot of times we get anxious because we're angry and upset about something and we don't know what to do. And anxiety is this sort of tornado where I says, I have to do something about this, but there's nothing I can do. I have to do something about this, but there's nothing I can do. And we spin out. So anger kind of starts that tornado going. So a lot of the things we talk about in Unworried would apply to your situation as well. You might check that out at CatholicCounselors.com, too. Matthew, thank you so much for the call. We've added you to our More to Life prayer list. We really appreciate your openness and your willingness to look at this. And I hope that you'll follow through with some of the suggestions we've made here in the call. And with that, we are taking your calls about anger on today's show titled Exasperation Detonation. If someone or something makes you feel like you're ready to explode, we want to help you diffuse the situation, reclaim your calm, and find grace-filled solutions. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26.
Be angry, but do not sin.
Short and sweet.
Short and hard.
But it's, you know, it highlights everything we're saying here today. The problem is not that you're angry.
Right.
Right? The problem is that we think that anger is a club that we use on other people or other situations. Anger is not the club, or it's not the answer, it's not the way that we find solutions. Anger is a call to prayer. Anger is that call to bring that anger to God and say, okay, Lord, this is what I'm upset about, or I'm not sure even what I'm upset about. Teach me, right? And show me what to do about it. Help me respond to this in a way that is productive, that is appropriate, that is proportionate, so that I can glorify you, be my best self, and work for the good of the people involved, even in my anger. Amen. With that, we got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about those angry situations or those people that are driving you crazy. We want to help you diffuse your anger, reclaim your calm, and find those grace-filled solutions today on More to Life. 877-573-7825.
Resetting your password, unsubscribing from emails, printing anything. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with an auto owner's insurance independent agent, getting the right coverage for your business doesn't have to be one of them, so you can get back to more important things, like learning how that printer works. That's simple human sense.
Call Choice Insurance Agency at 734-641-4200.
Catechism of the Catholic Church on Animals, paragraph 2417. God entrusted animals to the stewardship of those whom he created in his own image. It is legitimate to use animals for food and clothing. They may be domesticated to help man in his work. Medical and scientific experimentation on animals is a morally acceptable practice if it remains within reasonable limits and contributes to caring for or saving human lives. It is contrary to human dignity to cause animals to suffer or die needlessly. It is likewise unworthy to spend money on them that should, as a priority, go to the relief of human misery. So the Catechism is quite clear. We have a great duty to exhibit kindness to animals, and at the same time, understand that animals were created not for their own sake, but for the sake of the human.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays from 4 to 6 on Ave Maria Radio and the Ave Maria Radio app.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
We're so glad to be with you today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Exasperation Detonation, as we talk about those people and things that provoke you to anger. With that, let's go to our next caller. Lisa, who's up?
We're talking with Christina, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Indiana.
Christina in Indiana, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi, yay, welcome. Thank you so much for taking my call. So I work in healthcare, and it's a very professional setting. I have to be a very professional person. I am trying to negotiate my hours and trying to reduce some of my workload, but we're short staffed, so it's kind of falling on deaf ears, and so I've been very upset about it. And I'm in the process of negotiating that, and I find myself getting angry, but I stay professional. So when I get home, this is kind of all built up inside of me, and I'm, you know, I sit in my car, I pray about it, I'm like, okay, God, help me to be a good mother, help me to be a good servant. So I think I'm doing good, and next, you know, I'm like telling my kids, like, hey, did you do this? Hey, can we get this done? Hey, I need you guys to help me with the dishes. And all of a sudden, somehow, I'm now angry. I don't even realize that it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, I'm like, oh, I just got really angry at my kids to the point where, you know, I'm fuming. And I'm like, help me understand, how to identify this. What, you know, I think I'm doing great. And I'm like, at the end of it, I'm having to apologize to my children again. I'm like, how did this happen?
God bless you. I mean, it happens to the best of us, but I'm so glad that you're aware of it. How old are your kids?
14 and 10. I'm like, oh my gosh, she's 14.
Yeah, that happens. Don't worry about it. that's just being a mom, right?
Yeah,
there.
God bless you. No, it really. I mean, it does happen to the best of us. And the most important thing, you know, being a good parent isn't never making mistakes. It's being aware of them and being willing to learn from them. So you know what, you're doing a really good thing by trying to, you know, sit in the car and kind of talk yourself down and pray through it a little bit. I think that's really important. One thing I would say, well, two things I would suggest actually, when you come in the house, I'd like you to create a little ritual for reconnecting with everybody first. You know, whether that's just sitting down and you know, just saying, hey, let's have a snack together, or hey guys, let's have a group hug. I mean, I know it sounds corny, but you know, the reconnecting is so important, you know, before we start redirecting everything. Because as soon as you go into, okay, we need to get the house in order, we need to put the dishes away, you go back into work mode, which then triggers the work stress, right? And it makes you feel like I'm right back there in this place dealing with these impossible people, trying to get these impossible things done. It's not intentional, it's just this unconscious shift that happens. But you know what, if you take just a little bit of time to reconnect and recollect, right, by you know, giving everybody that hug, by creating a space for everybody to share a little bit about their day, you know, to feel to strengthen that connection, and before you go on with the you know, redirecting everything and directing everything, it's going to make a big difference. The other thing I want you to do in that time, before you break from that reconnection time, make a plan together for the evening. Sit down together and say, okay, let's talk about what we need to do and how we can be a team handling it. What do you guys need to get done? Okay, here's what I need to get done. How can we work together as a family to make that happen? And how can we take care of each other while we're doing it so we come out the other end feeling closer because of it? Again, you might think that sounds silly, but honestly, when families take that time to just plan how to be a team for the rest of the evening, it goes so much smoother. You've got a plan, you're managing everybody's expectations, you stop feeling like you're herding cats, and you start feeling like we're a family that works to take care of each other, and this feels really good. It's not going to solve it all, but those two things are going to make a big shift in your attitude and help you feel like, you know, whereas with work you're constantly fighting with people, at home you're working together to take care of each other. It's a big shift, and it really makes a huge difference. And Christian, Christina, I will say this is the kind of thing we talk about on Catholic Home every day. That's an app that we created to support Catholic families. We have tons of creative resources there, tons of things like podcasts. We have a live stream coming up actually next Tuesday with a live Q&A. We have all of our Catholic family life coaches and pastoral counselors are on there to answer these kinds of questions as they come up every day. Check it out. It's Catholic HOM, stands for Catholic Households on Mission. You can download the app. The first month's absolutely free to try it out. We'd love to have you be part of that community. But I think that these suggestions we've made on the call will get you running. But if you want that additional support, Catholic Home is the place to come. Thank you so much for the call, Christina. God bless. Listeners, if you are looking for ways to help diffuse your anger and to approach those situations in a calm, appropriate, productive, proportionate way that helps you find solutions, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where we can hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Well, that's the end of the show. Get out there and celebrate the life God wants you to live. And remember, with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Thanks for tuning in. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.